You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You.
My name is Rob.
Definitely it is. And welcome, guys. This is episode number 599,
maybe?
Perfect. Good to know. Rob, what are we talking about today?
What are we talking about? We're talking about flying over moving vehicles, is my understanding.
Ah, you know, right? This seemed to be a point of contention with a lot of people, even some instructors here at Drone U. But I am here to correct them all once and for all.
Whew.
That's right, Bob. I'm here to give the information you need to hear. Luckily, I'm not your national news, though, so I will talk to you like you're a human.
I'm looking forward to that.
Hey, cool. That's refreshing, isn't it?
Indeed.
Well, we better hurry because my computer is about to die, so you better play that question.
Hey, how's it going, guys? My name is Bruce. I am a police officer in Hawaii. I recently got my 107 certificate, and I'm looking to get into the drone business full time. My question today is about flying over people. I know you've done a couple of podcasts on the subject, but I still don't quite see how real estate or wedding videos could be done legally. I'm very familiar with the regulations, you know, protect the structure, stationary covered vehicle, etc. Here in Hawaii, the homes are very close together. So if I'm flying an operation on one home, I guarantee I'll be flying over multiple other homes. I don't see how you prevent those neighbors from coming outside and, say, doing some yard work. And what about wedding videos? I mean, you got 100, 200 guests there. It's almost impossible not to fly over somebody. So, do you have them sign a waiver, or do you somehow classify them as participants of the operation? Or, you know, how do you go about dealing with real estate, neighbors, as well as the guests at a wedding? Greatly appreciate your input, and look forward to hearing from y'all. Take care.
Oh man, Rob, you mind if I take this bull by the horns?
I don't think I have a choice.
Point number one, I really doubt this guy knows the rules. Well, I know you're supposed to protect structures. What? What are you reading?
I'm not.
Well, you know what? We got to give him credit. You know why? He asked a question.
He did. He called
kept
in.
An open mind.
Yeah.
But deep down, I think we're all thinking here, buddy, good try. First of all, there are hundreds of ways to fly a wedding and get incredibly good shots without flying over a single person. There are hundreds of ways to fly real estate, thousands of ways to never fly over a person. You never even have to leave the property if you're a really good pilot and you know what you're doing.
You know, you probably don't have to be a really good pilot, just a decent pilot.
Like a Rob pilot.
I'm not even a decent pilot, Paul.
Okay. Anyway. All right. So two things. Number one, the FAA talks about flying over people on page 271. Okay. And 278 of the Drone Pilot Field Kit. You can get that at dronepilotfieldkit.com. It is free. You just have to provide your email address. Now, what does, the point of contention that I mentioned before we listened to the question is that, you know, some Drone U pilots say, well, I think it's okay to fly over moving vehicles. This is Vic's stance, right? I think it's okay to fly over moving vehicles, but at a reasonable distance, you know? And then some people say, I think it's okay to fly over moving vehicles because they have some point of protection against if a drone were to fly out of the sky. Who cares what people say? Let's dig into what the FAA says, Bob. What do you think?
I think that's the best policy.
All right, Bob. Let's read this like we're the national news.
Let's do it, Poole.
You want me to throw on the accent too, huh?
Please.
The FAA believes that a small unmanned aircraft should be allowed to fly over a person who is inside a stationary covered vehicle that can provide reasonable protection from a falling small unmanned aircraft. The FAA has modified this rule accordingly. This rule will not, however, allow operation of a small unmanned aircraft over a moving vehicle because the moving vehicle operating environment is dynamic and the potential impact forces when an unmanned aircraft impacts a moving road vehicle pose unacceptable risks due to head-on closure speeds. Additionally, impact with a small unmanned aircraft may distract the driver of a moving vehicle.
It may.
And result in an accident.
Could happen.
It surely could, Bob.
It most likely would, actually. I think the likelihood is strong that it would. Okay, so that's pretty clear.
Oh, it's pretty clear. Wait, it even gets better.
Oh, God. No way.
Should I keep with the accent?
I don't know what you've done with Paul. Jamaican
accent. Ilker said, what is that, a Jamaican accent from Belfast? I've been watching too much Peaky Blinders, okay? They say several commenters sought clarification on the national proposed rules' use of phrases like directly participating in the operation and directly involved in the operation. Associated equipment distributors noted that the preamble in the NRPM indicates that direct participation is limited to the operator and the visual observer, but the proposed regulatory language does not afford clarity on this point. So SkySpecs proposed allowing anyone who has permission to be on a construction site and is covered by liability insurance to be covered by this definition.
Hmm.
Edison Electrical Institute, the NRECA, and the American Public Power Association said the definition of directly participating should be expanded to include personnel engaged in related activities, such as workers at a power plant, a small UAS is being used to monitor, or an electric utility crew whose work the small UAS is being used to assist. Interesting. The organizations further propose that such individuals would qualify as directly participating in an operation if they had received a pre-flight briefing described in proposed 14 CFR 107.49. Now, that makes sense in regards to if we go back, you know, predating 14 CFR 107, right, in the MPTOM, which was the document used by helicopter pilots, aircraft pilots, and drone pilots for a while to fly within 500 feet of a structure. But a lot of people don't know, all MPTOMs were taken off of the books November 19th of last year. So if anyone is flying a drone on a movie set under a 333 and an MPTOM, they must stay 500 feet away from any structure, according to current FAA law. This is why a lot of people say that the 333 is void for flying sets and filmmaking.
Interesting.
That's at least what the lawyers say in Lerner. Anyway, sorry. About that.
Ultimately, they're probably who matters, right?
Yeah, I would think so. So anyway, all these people felt the FAA should permit small UAS operations over individuals not involved in the UAS operations when those individuals consent to or are made aware of the operations. Several state farm bureaus, NBAA, urged the FAA to allow small UAS operations over people not directly involved in an operation so long as the operator notifies these people of the operation before it starts. Even the American Farm Bureau Federation, a number of state farm bureau federations, said the definition should be expanded to include individuals who have been made aware of the presence and approximate flight path of the UAS in their vicinity. The Farm Bureau Federations claim that the risk of the small UAS endangering a consenting individual working in a field who is not directly involved in but is aware of a small UAS operation is, and I quote, is simply too remote to justify a blanket prohibition.
And yet.
Hold on. Okay. I gotta dig through here because there's so many people. Like, they're like, well, Vail said, noflyzone.org said, and it's like, you really got to give the FAA props because they did their homework. I mean, they really thought this through. Okay, so here it is. The term directly participating refers to specific personnel that the remote pilot in command has deemed to be involved with the flight operation of the small unmanned aircraft. These include the remote pilot in command, the person manipulating the controls of the SUAS, and the visual observer. These personnel also include any person who is necessary for the safety of the small UAS flight operation. For example, if a small UAS operation employs a person whose duties are to maintain a perimeter to ensure that other people do not enter the area of the operation, that person would be considered a direct participant in the flight operation of the small UAS. Let's go back to this guy's real estate example, if you had the realtor there saying, hey, don't walk over here, he's flying, that person would be a participant and you could fly over the
that
realtor.
Person, yeah. Right. But not the neighbor out for a walk.
Correct. Anyone else would not be considered a direct participant in the small UAS operation. Due to the potential for the small unmanned aircraft to harm persons on the ground, the FAA does not consider consent or the need to do other work in the area of operation to be a sufficient mitigation of risk to allow operations over people.
That's really interesting that even if I said, I'm cool with it, I'm not worried about it, I know them, I'm just going to chill here, they're going to be flying over me, I don't care. Still couldn't do it.
Well, but also, you know, we have been hearing a lot of speculation, even from very high up officials at the FAA, that the FAA is looking to loosen up these regulations about right. flying over people.
Okay.
And the proof in the pudding is the test that they did at Virginia Tech and some other places where they said, look, if a drone hits a person, you know, who's just flying, it's not really going to hurt them. It may cause lacerations, but it's not going to be fatal. Now, I will say this to those of you Hokies at Virginia Tech. My sisters went to Virginia Tech.
Nice.
I'm very glad that you are not good pilots because I watched those videos and I am so happy that those drones hit those test dummies at the speeds that you were flying them. Because if a real pilot was in there and someone who was a very good pilot wanted to go nefarious, I guarantee your test results would be completely different.
Interesting.
Oh, when I watched those videos, I was looking like how far the drone would pitch forward, how far away did the drone start from the person in its flight path. Like all of these things were not controlled in their tests, at least looking at it in the video. Now, I could be wrong, and I'd be happy to be wrong.
Haven't seen the actual study itself.
Correct. But if it were me, which is why I kind of want to start a YouTube series, Rob, where we do problem solvers, and we find out stuff like that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It's just one more. Add that to the list
there,
between midnight and 2 a.m.
Yeah. I don't have free time anymore, Rob.
I know.
So anyway, all right, guys. I hope that answers his question. Now, I'm not going to read the point about flying over people. Essentially, it means the way the FAA sees it is flying over people is directly over the tips of their toes to the tips of their fingers. But if you fly in a trajectory that would cause undue risk and undue harm to those people or persons on the ground, you could still be liable for reckless flight. That being said, what I've been told by the FAA is don't fly over people. You can't control people who may walk under your drone if, say, you're on a big set or whatever. So there are things you can't control. This is also another point why I tell all of our pilots, and if you watch our operations class at the Drone U, you'll notice that we talk about putting a GoPro in the corner of your operating site because even if you tell someone, because there are people like this, even if you tell someone, look, don't walk under the drone.
Right.
It's, you know, we're not allowed to fly over you. It's illegal. There are people who do it on purpose. We've actually dealt with one of those people.
Yeah.
If he wasn't so bad at golfing, we wouldn't have had the problem. But hey, you know, some people suck at golfing. So
most people.
I enjoy sucking at golfing. I don't know why people take it so damn seriously. It's a freaking game.
Like, absolutely.
Are you really, is your income going to be affected by your score? Then I wouldn't take it so personally.
Yeah, just stop betting.
Yeah.
And no, losing. No.
Most people don't bet. My point is,
oh
gosh. Getting me fired up, Rob.
No, it doesn't. Anyway. Especially nowadays. And so the whole the issue
comes again, fired number two.
No, the issue with a wedding is, I mean, get over it, right? You can't fly over people.
Fly to
figure
the side.
It out. Yeah.
Use Zoom. Use your brain. Figure out creative ways. That's what you are. You're a videographer. You are being paid to come up with creative, cool ways to show off other people's life. That's what it is.
Yep.
Cool.
And oftentimes a lot of money.
Yeah, and if you aren't constantly trying to better yourself, people are going to become better than you and you're going to lose your edge. You're going to lose jobs. Do yourself a favor. Always watch other people's stuff. Always try to interact new dynamic movements and shots. Like, here's the thing. If I have the right camera, if I'm flying my Inspire 2, okay, with the X30, not the highest resolution camera by any means.
Right.
But I could be at least 500 feet away from the bride and groom and have an up-close of their face from the sky and not fly over anyone.
So there are methods.
There are always methods. As my lacrosse coach used to say, and I'll end it with this.
Is there cussing involved?
There was, but I'm going to refrain.
Okay.
As my thank you, Coach Taylor. As my lacrosse coach once said, Paul, it's often easy to blame the equipment, but oftentimes it's not the equipment, but rather the operator who's at fault.
Wow. Thank goodness for Coach Taylor.
And on that bombshell, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.